Tom, I got confirmation earlier today the NHLPA has voted not to receive their final paycheck. Not a big surprise to me. I think it's the right decision. It's just trying to lessen what escrow is going to be next season for them. And, you know, because you take the money and basically just giving it all back in escrow next year. And also, it sounds like they're going to approve the 24 format. However, some of the top teams didn't love this format.
Listen, that's understandable, Griggs. And the money thing and deferring the payment, yeah, you're right. Like, they're being money conscious, and rightly so. Good for them. And escrow next year is going to be a pain in the butt, I'm sure, guaranteed. The top teams and their kind of play-in situation where, you know, they're proposing this three-game situation where these players and teams are involved in playing each other, and it might influence seeding in the first, let's call it, real round of the playoffs, if you will, where it gets pared down to 16. I get it. Like, I understand that they're probably not too thrilled about it, but at the same time, I feel like these teams, Gregs, need to look at the fact that they're going to get some games at least, right? Because if they're not going to do an conclusion to the regular season and they're going to go right into this 24-team format and you're going to have these play-in situations, you need those top teams playing games, shaking off the rust. And in a time where you're basically looking for the best possible solution when there's not a lot of great solutions, that might be the only option that they have. And listen, I get it. You're not happy. You only get three games, whatever. But the fact of the matter is you're going to play. They're going to have some meaning, and you just go with it. But I understand, Greg's, honestly. But we're in such a weird time that, unfortunately, this is the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah, no, it's more so, I think they don't like, just the four, not the three games from what I was told. That's not the, it looks like there's not as much benefit. Like, there was 85% of the season played.
Yeah.
And now they're changing some of the stuff, right, for the top teams. Like, the Oilers for sure should be annoyed. There's no question about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look, the Oilers get, let's say it all plays out and the Oilers get the Hawks in the first round, like that's a team that's dangerous. And in a five-game series, they might beat the Oilers, quite frankly. I get that, but I think, you know, if you let your emotions subside and you back away and you go, all right, like, do we do this scenario or do we not play at all? You take it. I get it, but and again, like Bettman said this all along, nobody's going to be 100% happy with this situation or how it all plays out. But here we are, and if this is the way it goes, this is the way it goes. The only way to handle a situation like that, if say you're the Oilers, go and win those games, go on a run, go prove that the pundits who think you're a good team can do it, go do it, like. You know, go prove it on the ice, basically.
Tom Gazzola joins us. Well, Tom, it looks like we're getting closer, everything like that. Maybe a July start. Then we can start talking strategy, like a best of three. This is so unlike anything else that we've seen. So that will make it intriguing. I don't think there's any question about that. It'll be intriguing, but. You know, in a best of three, obviously that first game is going to be massive, and the Oilers, you know, in theory should be healthy, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been seeing some people's, you know, mock lineups of what Dave Tippett would do. The Draisaitl line to me is staying together. So my question is, who would you start game one with McDavid?
Oh, this might not be popular, Greg's, but I would actually consider going with James Neal and Zach Cassian again. Those are veteran guys, proven guys who can do it in the postseason. And people might say, well, they can't skate with him. Zach Cassian absolutely can skate with him. And for a guy that's not known for his skating, I'll tell you what, Greg, James Neal does get around and seems to find the right place to be at the right time more often than not. And that's how I would go. I would go back to that line. And then I'd get Nugent Hopkins with Draisaitl and Yamamoto, and I'd let that line ride high and see what it can do. You know, I'd like to see more out of Athanasiou, and I think he's got more to bring to the table, absolutely. I actually kind of feel that the Oilers have respectable depth now after the trade deadline. Ennis was a big pickup. I know he's had some success, and he can fly. He's a veteran guy as well. But I would go on that top line, Gregs. I'd go with Neil and Cassian. And listen, you're going to have to be quick with your decisions, especially if it's a short series to start out. And if it doesn't work, then as Dave Tippett has done all season long, he'll tinker. And he'll tinker right away. But I'd go with guys that have done it and done it for a long time. And those two with McDavid, I think, would be a good start.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know what? Like, yeah, James Neal's in my lineup without question. It's just a no-brainer. The guy's been in Stanley Cup finals numerous times, so he's playing. He'll be healthy. And, like, all the, you know what? The funny thing is, it's kind of like a start of a new season. And yeah. He started out red hot. So yeah, definitely James Neal is playing. To me, it's foolish for anybody to not have James Neal in the lineup. I think you're relying way too much on what his 5-on-5 scoring was. That's irrelevant. It's absolutely irrelevant. It's playoff experience. It's completely, completely different. On the back end, I think we all agree the top four, whatever. You got Nurse, you've got Bear, you've got Klefbom and Larson playing. Who are your other two defensemen in game one?
Listen, I with a healthy Mike Green and leaning on the veteran and the savviness of that, I might throw Mike Green in there, pardon me. And I would roll the dice on Caleb Jones. And, you know, he was building some momentum this season. He was looking good. It's either him or Chris Russell on that left side. And then you see how that last pairing does in that first game. And if you're alarmed, if it doesn't go well, you know, you've got Matt Benning sitting there. You could roll him in if Mike Green doesn't look like he's up to snuff. And you can flip Jones and Russell. So all of a sudden, guys are healthy because we've had this 2, soon-to-be 3-month layoff. And you've got all these options. And you can throw different looks at whatever team you're playing. Say it's the Hawks or whatever. You can go all kinds of different ways with the depth that's on the back end all of a sudden. It's Greg's. I keep having to remind myself that Mike Green is an Oiler. Like, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, they picked him up right before the deadline. Like, it's incredible to me just how everything has transpired over the last couple of months.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Green is prior to his getting injured, he was playing more minutes than Larson. And, you know, we had seen him play a little bit with Klefbom. And so I know that, you know, it's early, but his skating and puck movement ability against a Chicago team that's, you know, not that big and physical. Like, I wonder if maybe they go with a Larson-Russell third pair, kind of, you know, those are your penalty killer guys. Like, knowing coaches, how they think historically, I think Chris Russell might get the first game over Caleb Jones. I'm not saying it would stay that way, but I could see it for game one only because of experience and the importance of special teams in a 3-game series. Right. And, and obviously they like Russell. You know, the Oilers have the second best penalty kill in the NHL. That would be, you know, the one area that they would have an advantage. Now the Blackhawks penalty kill is pretty good. You know, it's ninth in the regular season and, their power play, funny enough, struggles, but I don't care. You got Patrick Kane, on your team. I'm still leery of that. So I'd want probably my most experienced penalty killers to start the postseason.
Yeah. Listen, the Hawks have had some struggles the last couple of years, but they can hurt you, and they can hurt you quickly. Their high-end guys are some of the best. And when it comes to Russell, you know what, Gregs? I think we get caught up in the whole contract thing. And listen, is he the flashiest, sexiest defenseman in the league or on the Oilers roster? Absolutely not. But the guy's got guts. We're talking about the postseason. He's been there. He's done it multiple times. And I think that's a big check mark. And you're right. It would probably get him that first start out of the gate in game one. And he can take it from there. His play will dictate whether or not he plays. And if not, you've got guys that are hungry that are ready to go right behind him. But it's a good situation to have. It's a very good problem to have. And that's a theme that keeps popping up when it comes to the Oilers this year, Greg. They have good problems. And, yeah, they're problems, but they're good ones with lots of solutions.
Tom Gazzola joins us. You know, it'll be fun. And, you know, once it's confirmed, then I think we can really dig in and look at stuff. And that'll be a welcome change. No question about it. A few other things. What is your favorite baseball stadium food? Because some minor league baseball stadiums are offering curbside concession pickup. And I thought of you and Connor Halley instantly when I saw this. I'm like, those two would be all over this.
I'm a sucker for stadium food. And I'll tell you, I love that minor league stadiums are doing this. I'll tell you the best meal I've ever had at a stadium before was. And it was during the postseason when the Blue Jays were playing the Rangers. The Oilers were starting up their season. It was their first year in the league. We were in Dallas, and I wound up getting tickets to this game in Texas. And listen, I was stuck. It was 40 degrees. I was in the left field bleachers. The sun was beating down on us and Jack Michaels. And I got these things called hot tachos. And it's basically nachos with what are those, tater tots. And it was amazing, Greg. It came in a box with a handle. And they gave me basically like a whole stack of napkins. And it was 40 degrees. I'm in the sun, left field bleachers, Blue Jays, Rangers, postseason, eating hot tachos, getting sour cream and salsa and cheese like all over myself. And they were the best meal I've ever had. There's something about stadium food that just, it puts it to a whole new level, especially when it comes to baseball. I'll give baseball credit for coming up with some of the craziest food and some of the best food.
So here's the thing. In Rochester, their signature trash can is just only $6, but you can get a six-pack of domestic beer from them for $10. Like, think about it. You can get a six-pack of beer for $10. A hot dog costs you $3. Are you kidding me?
It's the best. It's the best. They don't charge you an arm and a leg.
No. I'm just saying, like, the hot dog is way overpriced if you're getting six beer for $10 and one hot dog for $3.
Well, okay. But anyone, you know, when you travel in the States or you live down there, like the beer and the liquor down there is just so cheap. It's unbelievable. And of course, we get taxed up the yin yang up here. And when you go down there, so when you throw out the 6 for $10, like I'm like, yeah, that's okay. But when you go down there, you can buy a 30 pack on sale of like let's say Rolling Rock or Coors Banquet. You get a 30 pack from a Safeway for like $20 on special some days, and you're just like, this is the way it should be.
Guys, we were down in Vegas for a bachelor party. What a surprise for me. But the Vegas 51s were around at the time, and
yes.
Thursday nights were dollar beer night.
Yeah.
And we would plan our trips to Vegas around that, because that's how we would start our trip. Thursday, go to the ballpark, indulge in dollar beers. Seventh inning comes around. If it's not a close game, well, we'll head back to the strip. But the dollar beer night always got us.
Oh, I love dollar beer night. I'm not going to lie. I'm a sucker for that, Greg and Connor.
Well, who isn't? Are you kidding me? Dude, I remember the day 25-cent draft. Kidding me? Oh, Cowboys?
Cowboys?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
hello.
Was bad news.
Oh, man. Tuesdays are unbelievable. I used to have a lab at Nate, and literally our lab ended at 6 o'clock, and we went right to Cowboys. Or, sorry, not Cowboys. To
Ezzy's?
Oh, Ezzy's, yeah, on Tuesday nights. Cowboys was Thursday.
Oh. I had some long nights at Ezzy's, my friend.
Dude, it's unreal. Remember and the overflow bar that you could wait in line? Like,
yes.
It was the you never wanted
the
to get
locker
in there.
Room.
The locker room, but
yeah.
Man, you used to just try to weasel your way so you didn't have to go in there. But it's still in the wintertime, it was still better because then you never had to wait outside. But I was always good at not having to wait in line. So it was, you know, seriously, that was a skill set that I had amongst my buddies when we were younger. We went to the club Fairmount when we were younger, so that helped, number one. But I would make sure I got to know the bouncers, and especially in the wintertime, when we rolled up, we would roll up with 4 hot chocolates. We always got in.
Oh, that
dude,
is
it's the greatest move.
Savvy.
It's a great move. You just show up with 4 hot chocolates. Right now, if they want to go in and put a Bailey's in it, they can. And they loved it, right? It's a veteran move. Veteran move. So, little tip to the kids out there when the nightclubs come back. Treat the bouncer super nice. That is the key friend. That's the first level of importance. right? Bartender, sure. Definitely
yep.
the doorman. Because if you're not in, it don't matter. Doesn't matter if yep. you know the one bartender's like, hey, can I ask for Jim? And the guy's like, who? Sorry, beat it. Now, if you know Dave and he runs the door, well, now you got a chance. You got a much
exactly.
better opportunity. Tommy, a very close vote right now for 1260 Movie Watch. It's going to come down to the wire between Law-Abiding Citizen and Escape from Alcatraz and End of Watch. They're all very close. You can vote on Twitter for tonight. And, you know, Nonstop, which thankfully wasn't winning, is a terrible selection. But Escape from Alcatraz, End of Watch, and Law-Abiding Citizen. I've only seen Escape from Alcatraz, and it was a long time ago, so it's like I'd be watching all these again. I'm pumped. Is there one that you're more interested of watching?
I went with Law-Abiding Citizen. That was my vote, Greg's. I actually haven't seen it, and I'm more partial now with 1260 Movie Watch to lean towards movies I haven't seen. And, like, Escape from Alcatraz, it's great, but I feel like there's been so many movies about Alcatraz. I watched documentaries on it. I'm kind of like, let's go with something we haven't seen. And I honestly have not seen Law-Abiding Citizen, so that's why it got my vote, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. Hopefully it pulls out the win tonight.
Tommy, well, we'll be watching remotely together at 8 o'clock tonight.
Looking forward to it.
What is the Gazzola choice of beverage or snacks tonight?
Ooh, I'm out of vodka, so I think I'm just going to have a beer night, Greg. I might go an old standby. I'll throw the Kokanee's up there.
Kokanee?
Yeah.
What, 18 again? Jeez, are they on sale? Come on.
Okay.
No, I'll get you some. We'll get you, dude, when this is done, I'll get you some beer that you can taste, okay? Jeez.
Oh, yeah, I'll hold awesome. You to that.
Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm going to improve your beer selection. You and Struds. So this guy's got these lagers that you might as well just have no flavor to them.
Right? Oh, my goodness.
I'll get you some good ales, Tommy. And trust me, once you go ale, she'll never go back. Okay?
Bring it on, Greg. Bring it on.
Have yourself a fantastic weekend.
You too, sir.